Hello, I'm a little nervous, so, but it's fine. Well, we're here to talk about and entertain the impact of survivorship bias on Umin Falls to build more inclusive communities. I think this is a really important theme, let's say this way, as bless humans all the time, not just in false communities, but in general in tech. And well, I'm here with Ima to talk a little bit about our objective in this talk. We have like some topics to cover, and she's going through it.
Okay, this is going to be a little bit complicated, but we'll make it work. So this is what we're going to talk about today. We'll see first a little bit of feed of stats about women in tech and free and open source software. We'll go about the barriers to entry and retention that we think are important to review. We'll talk about survivorship bias and intersectionality and survivorship bias. We think they can work together, and how to build diverse and inclusive communities. So for that, we're trying to find some stats in reverse to our talk. And these ones we found very interesting. That's what actually prompted up to this talk, that a lot of women, like 50% of women, leave tech at 35 or before. So we consider ourselves survivors because we are over 35 and we're still in open source and tech. So that's why we consider we are survivors. As compared to other jobs, what only 20% of women leave, and as compared to men, that we leave more than men. We were trying to find similar stats related to free and open source software, but that was a little bit more difficult. What we see that in proprietary software, women actually contribute 28%, which is, I think, it's close to what we see in the industry. We have around 25-30% of women in the industry. But if we look at open source, we find that, for example, the Apache Software Foundation only had 5% women contributing. 9% to the Linux kernel, and 9% of women have GitHub users. This is from 2017. We don't know if this has changed a lot, but we assume not. So that's very different from what we see in the industry. And Julia is going to talk about the barriers of entry and retention as related to that, when women don't entry or leave.
So probably the humans present in this room knows a lot about the barriers to entry and retention in tech, but just to say about a little bit, but like for example, the gender pay a gap. Sometimes humans need to have the responsibility of caregivers, so it's taking care of our families, our baby. Also, you have the gender bias, harassments, microaggressions, and others. I'm sorry. For example, when we say about the survivorship bias, means that we survive it and we could retain, right? But this means that you pass through it to be here today because or we didn't take care about it, or you keep our heads up. But this don't mean that for the newcomers, this is easier. And sometimes we don't see empathy, or we don't see even mentorship or ways that make easier for women keep in tech. As you see in the slide before, normally humans live with 35 years, because normally this age they are getting married, having babies, and they need to choose between career and house responsibility, let's say this way. And sometimes, for example, to have a job in home, have a job outside the home, and plus work in a false community that's a voluntary thing is harsh, right? So this is also something that's really block this rotation not just in tech, but in the force. And a lot of other type of barriers. This is like some dialogues for anonymous people that we take, that or some conversation that we have with women in tech, that sometimes they need to, like, for example, change the gender on the GitHub, or they're not comfy to contribute in open source repository because the, like, for example, the documentation is not clear, or they don't want to be judged, or they don't think that they have the whole experience that they should when you compare with a man. Or sometimes what's happening a lot is, like, for example, men really stick more with each other to defend each other than, like, to defend a woman when they have an issue, when they do a mistake. So we're afraid of being judged, like, for example, in a public in the internet, right? And also, like, for example, normally, at least in my experience, for example, I'm from infrastructure, I'm SRE. A lot of times I was the only woman in my team, sometimes in the company, and this is harsh. Like to feel belong, you know, like we don't have the, let's say, brotherhood as guys normally have because you're different, let's say this way. So sometimes you have, like, you suffer like mansplaining, or you feel that your voice doesn't matter, and other type of, like, let's say, arrest, or like a gap or lack of security security because of that.
So who in the room knows about survivorship bias? I've heard of it. Oh, that's quite good. So if you go to the Wikipedia, you can have a look. So we'll go through it, over it quickly. You know, in World War II, there were a lot of aircrafts that made it to base, but some didn't. So they decided to analyze that and try to make planes safer by strengthening the damage in the bullet points that used where they were shot. So they first decided, hey, maybe we need to strengthen the places where the planes that make to base are shot. But after that, they realized that if you shoot the pilot in the head, it was not actually in the bullet points where they make it to base. So maybe what we need to do is protect the places where the planes are not shot as well. So we need to strengthen those. For me, for women in tech, it's a little bit the same. If you look at us, the survivors, we made it over 35 years and we're still in open source. You might miss a lot of data. You might meet a subset of data and the reasons why people leave, so why women leave. So that's why I started being very interested in this approach. For me, the first thought was, how can I identify, how can we identify our own survivorship bias, because I'm a survivorship. I said, hey, I survived, I made it, what's the problem? So for me, the intersectionality is the one concept that helped me. Intersectionality recognizes that there's the gender is not the only factor that shapes our experience and our in tech. So we all have different social identities, and those shape, like, they compound a more complex form that sometimes creates discrimination. So for a woman in tech, it's different. If you are a migrant transgender woman, you will have a very different experience from a woman who is non-migrant and is cisgender. So one thing that helped me a lot is the wheel of privilege, that actually you can see here. There's a lot of versions on the internet you can check. And I place myself in the wheel, and the closer that you are to the center, for example, if you own a house, or if you rent a house, or if you don't have a house, these are different levels of privileges. The closer you are to the center in this wheel, the more power you have and the more privilege you are in that situation and with that identity. And the farther you are from the circle, the worse, the more disadvantage you might experience depending on the situation. So for me, what I try to do is try to figure out what's my privilege. I am an engineer, I have an engineering degree. I'm a citizen, I'm not a migrant. I'm middle class. I don't have children to take care for or parents to take care for. So there's a lot of things that give me privilege, like being a white European. And first, when I started supporting women, which is something I'm very passionate about, I, for example, was supporting, mentoring women that were, had an engineering degree like me. And this made me think of the opposite side of the spectrum. What if I can help women that don't have an engineering degree, that are migrant? And I found an association in Barcelona, where I invest, that they help these kind of women that are transition mid-career. So this is something that helped me think outside the box, look at for my blind spots, and say, okay, maybe we need to help the people that don't make it in tech. Another example is at conferences, for example, or events, I don't think, at first I wasn't thinking of mothers, like if you have a child, how does it help you? So maybe you can provide childcare services, maybe you can ask if the menu, if they allow children in, and that can help women join the event. Or for example, if you are in an open source project and you have the calls at 7 at night, maybe that's the time where a mother will be taking care of the children. So even if they are a minority, maybe try to find a time that works for the minority, otherwise they might not be able to join or stay. And now we'll have Julia talk about how we can build more diverse and inclusive communities based on that.
Well, we talk a lot about diversity and inclusion, but they are together, but they are quite different, right? Diversity is like in, when we have a really different people that can contribute. So like we have different perspectives, let's say, way, like different cultures, different colors, different realities. And inclusion is when we really make these people feel comfortable, when we welcome them for what they are, right? And like, for example, when we talk about like why building a diverse and inclusive community, is because you can create a better product, you can have a stronger community, you can have a really more diverse teams, innovation, sustainability, and social impact. So like, for example, let's say that you're creating a product and you just have people that's from the same city, color. So you're bringing, you're creating a product with this mindset, with this mentality, with that is going to work for these people that is building. But you're like eliminating, isolating other realities. So sometimes we have people that's blind or people that is from a totally different reality. And then when you bring these people for your team, you were able to like fulfill these gaps. So you were able to like really create product with innovation that is going to be accessible for everyone, and not just with the mindset of the like a male or European or like people that have more privilege than others. So I know that that's complicated when we say this, because we're dealing with minority and talking about a lot of a place that is really more with male and with white and middle class people. But it's something that we need to keep talking, because it's valuable to have a mix of culture, mix of diversity in general, right? And how we can building a better inclusive community, right? This here is some resource, so like we can create and enforce a code of conduct, and even sometimes when you really have a code of conduct and we enforce them, things can happen, shit happens sometimes. Like here, for example, we have the contacts, if you feel something, what is nice. So like normally in conference like this, you always or have people that is going to be in some rooms or during the talks to assist people that need something regarding this, or like some contacts. More than the community enforce them, I think also like the people that are attending this conference, that have this empathy, understand that people are different, right? So like you need to have inclusive language, understand that, for example, if I say guys or girls, that I'm not including everyone, so using sometimes some slangs that you maybe can be offending someone or isolating someone for this situation. That mentorship is really important, that no one start from where you start. So sometimes people need more clarity in some topics than others, and people have different levels, so it's really important. And feedback, I think the feedback should be something constructive. Like we create a feedback for people to say like, okay, how I can get better on that? So it's like there is a lot of ways that you can give feedback. So if you try to be empathy, that is try to be in the other side, you're going to understand that like, if someone say this to me, I'm not going to like it. So don't do like this, right? Like, so that's why have the next is cultural differences, because like, for example, the way that in a country people do a feedback, some countries they are more, the culture is more like directive, the others they are less directed. So sometimes when we're working with different people, with different countries or different realities, the way that they're going to understand this feedback, the way that they're going to digest it, is totally different for the way that you understand it yourself. So like, think about it, like, should I be like this? Or how I could give this feedback less in harsh or without offend this person, but try really like to say like, hey, I wanted this person to get better on that, and be clear on this, you know? Sometimes it's important that the people understand what's the really problem there. And here it's also some community and initiatives, like exists a thousand more, but like you have Outrash, you have Google Women Tech Makers, Girls Script Summer of Code, Women in APIs, for example. It's an initiative that's now starting also in Barcelona. Lakes That Falls, Women in Open Source. Unfortunately, this Write Speak Code is not active anymore, but like, for example, Emo have the chance to have some attending some of these, and she said that was really, really nice. And also you have like a lot of local communities. So like, for example, in Barcelona we have Tech Fams, in Sweden we have Bila, and probably in your city, in your country, have others. I'm not going to say that going to have like specific for open source, but for sure is going to have something for women. And of course that other initiatives, like for example Google Summer Code, that's for all, but if you need it, you have a lot of different initiatives, like for example for the community of the Python, I have PyLadies, that's all over the globe as well. So it's just go to Google it, or ChatGPT probably help as well. And points to take home. I think, first of all, here we talk about women in general, right? If you was talking about, like, for example, women color, transgenders, these statistics is even lower and sad. But I think the things that we should take is, like, be more empathic, be able to listen, be open to listen what people haven't say, understand the authenticity, like people, it's different. And And be open to mentor, you know, like this is something that me and Emma been doing a lot in some communities, like mentoring people, mentoring women that starting the tech, people that women that want to change career. So if you can help, if you're from Falls, if you can have a better documentation, if you can say like, oh, I want to have more women contribute in my software, try to bring this. I think this is really important. Let's try together to ramp up these statistics to have more retention, to have more women, more transgenders, and bring a better software, do a better software, and have diversity and inclusion. Thank you.
You wanted to know, you mentioned imposter syndrome and how to deal with that, I guess, more or less. In terms of becoming a mentor, yeah. Actually, you have to jump in. I mean, you never feel ready to become a mentor. For example, we have Tech Femmes Barcelona. It's an association that helps women starting changing careers. They're usually doing a bootcamp or something like that, and the coaches try to help them do the homework and things like that. And what we find is that once they finish the bootcamp, we convince them, you can already be a coach because you already can help people going through a bootcamp. You already went through that. So you always have some experience you can share. You will never be perfect. You will never know everything, but you can always support someone. Sometimes it's only listening to that person and they already have the answer because they have imposter syndrome like you do. It's just supporting them and saying, hey, yes, you're doing right, I'm here for you. So I became a mentor like that. Like, yeah, I know I should not be a mentor probably. I don't feel like I should be. But then trying to do your best and trying to help, it helps a lot. I mean, we survived without a mentor. So for me, that's why when I was a survivor, I was like, why people need mentors? I didn't have a mentor. But yeah, I had a lot of privilege that maybe helped me. And I didn't realize that, and some people don't. So finding these people that are less privileged, you can help a lot because they have different experiences.
And I would like to just add something, but I think talking about imposter syndrome is important. I think probably a lot of people here feel the same. A lot of men that have like really awesome careers feel the same. So sometimes talk about your problems, it's helping a lot and help you to understand that you can help someone else because they feel the same, you know, and this is a start.
Yeah, so just be vulnerable and then you help. I mean, I had some people ask, how are you a senior? I said, no, I know how to Google things. I said, oh, that's being a senior. Yeah, that's like in Google things.
Even though, you know, from leadership, there's nothing wrong going on with women and minorities and so on and so forth. Do you have any ideas how to stay relevant?
For me, at least in my company, I know that internally we are keeping all the diversity programs and we're supporting each other, so I would change to a company that does that probably, if I could. I mean, if my company was not supporting this, I would find another one. So we have a lot of women that we support each other, and we actually say, hey, we're going to keep the diversity scholarships, for example, for Brakhavanagon, even if we have to change the name. But there's still going to be diversity scholarships. So we're trying to do the same, even if in the US there is a climate that is not very good for that.